Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Were you ever taught when you were young? If you mess with things selfishly, they're bound to come undone. I'm not the only one that's been affected and resented every story of fun, and I'm a lucky one. Cause there are people worse off that have suffered enough. Haven't they suffered enough? But you can't get enough of shutting down systems for personal gain, fighting fires with liars and praying for rain. Do you get up on pain? We're not pawns in your game, Commander-in-Chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep, seriously. Do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-Chief, how does it feel to still be able to breathe? We were taught when we were young, if we fight for what's right, there won't be justice for just some. Won't give up, stand our ground. We'll be in the streets while you're bunkering down. Loud and proud, best believe we'll still take a knee while you're Commander-in-Chief, honestly. If I did the things you do, I couldn't sleep, seriously. Do you even know the truth? We're in a state of crisis, people are dying while you line your pockets deep. Commander-in-Chief, how does it feel to still be able to breathe? You're bunkering down. Won't give up. Stand our ground. We'll be in the streets for you.
The world today is a very difficult situation. We all know it. We're going to take the weight. And we all old enough, we all know where that word comes from. We're going to take the weight. And we all youngins, that's cool again. 1970. Who's gonna say the wait? Before they became famous, is it gonna become a guy's great? Speaking words, June Friday Night Lights. As you know, the NBA had their draft this week. And for the first time in history, twins were drafted back-to-back. The Thompson Twins will be playing in the NBA this year. They made historical earmarks for the NBA. We'll get back to that later. Friday Night Lights. Fonte has arrest charges were dropped. The Oakland Raider will now go free after alleged assault attack in Las Vegas. Chicago Bull point guard Lonzo Ball will not play the 23 season. More serious knee injuries. Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees might be out for a while because of turf toe injuries in Los Angeles. The Yankees won that game, but lost their star. They don't like the Chris Paul trade. Chris Paul going for the Phoenix Suns. To go take worse. Sending Jordan Poole to the Washington Wizards. A three-way trade. Warriors got older. I do get it. It's a money dump. But the only bright side to this is Chris Paul could lead the second unit. Which Jordan Poole could not do. One Oregon Trailblazer, Damian Lillard, today in Portland. And believe me, the guy wanted to get a real win in a ring. He will not win the championship in Portland Trailblazer. He has to get out of there. Marcus Smart is a part of three-way trade. We'll be going to the Memphis Grizzlies. Boston is just, you know, they got good Porzingis from Washington. I don't think Porzingis fits in the Boston scheme. So Smart goes to Memphis. Porzingis goes to Boston. Goes to Golden State, and Poole goes to Washington. There's more to the story than I can see. The New York Knicks, does have a single pick in 2023. Meanwhile, they dropped the option of Derrick Rose. We'll see what happens. The Warriors stay home and pick 5'11 guard from Santa Clara University, Brayden Bozinski. Good rebounder. Might be going to the boards. Fair shooter, 5'11", which is interesting. 39, folks. The NBA is trying to be like the NFL. The NBA has the highest rating damn thing ever. But the show is too long. West Virginia, many of the West Virginia basketball players are leaving West Virginia after the Huggins incident. Huggins was forced to resign after DUI. So West Virginia could be out of the playoffs before the season even starts. Major League Baseball last night. Big weekend in baseball. And the Giants defeated the D-backs 8-3 after a 4-run comeback. In San Francisco, the first game of the series. Dodgers keep pace, defeating the Houston Astros 3-2. On a 2-run double by Bush in the fourth inning. Milwaukee has a big, big 6th inning as they down the Cleveland Guardians 7-1. Phillies defeat Slumping Mets 5-1, and the New York Mets batters are silent again. The Reds continue to hot streak 12 games, beating the Atlanta Braves, who had an 8-game win streak. L.A. De La Cruz gets a cycle. Rangers come to New York and beat the Yankees on a 2-run 10th inning home run by Garcia. The Rangers win 4-2. The Minnesota Twins keep up the AL Central lead with a 4-1 busy gem over Detroit. Some Major League Baseball teams are dropping the Pride theme jersey this weekend as we come to the end of Gay Pride Month in America. Also, the NHL announced today they will not wear the Pride uniforms next year. WTA, I got upset. Remember that was the door of Walmart open. Quarters, Alcaraz to beat the Dimitrov in the quarters of the Zim Championship. In the first round, Alex Dravov to beat Coco Gauff in the first round in Germany. And Lindsay beat Moreno in the quarters in England. PGA Travelers Championship, Denny McCarthy, and Keegan Bradley lead Sergio Perez by 2 strokes going into moving day. LPGA, the KMPG Championship. Laura McGuire is trying to get her second championship in a row. As easy as she leads Belle Reed, Juwan Lin, and Janine Borg by 1 stroke. They have Friday Night Lights. In the meantime, Major League Baseball and the Oakland A's are playing games with the American public. What I mean is this. They are saying that the A's are going to move to Las Vegas. Meanwhile, in the background, they're trying to keep them safe because the Vegas was a adventure team. And Oakland is the last, and that one knows. But we'll see what happens. Here's a clip.
Time now to check in once again with Oakland Mayor Xing Tao. She periodically joins us here on Midday Live to update our viewers on some of the biggest issues impacting the city. Mayor Tao, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us here on Midday.
Absolutely.
We have so much to get into, so we'll try and pack as much as we can into the next 5 minutes or so. I want to start with the A's. Obviously, all eyes on Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo and his desk after the legislature passed a funding agreement for $380 million to build that ballpark in Vegas. You released a statement shortly after the A's did, essentially saying, this is not a done deal until shovels are in the ground. It looks all but certain, though, that the governor is going to sign this bill. Are you still holding out hope that something else might happen?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been clear for a while that the owners of the A's wanted to move the team to Las Vegas or any other place, if we're talking about that, right? But we in Oakland now know better than anyone that there is a long pathway between passing state legislation, which we have, and shovels in the ground. And so I do firmly believe that the A's belong here in Oakland. And more than 20,000 fans this week agreed. More than 27,000 fans this week agreed. They showed up in a huge reverse boycott, which was extremely explosive and electrifying. And if the owners and league want a team in Vegas, sure, Vegas deserves a team, but they should also approve an expansion team and let the A's stay in their home of more than a half a century.
I want to get your reaction to a statement we just got in from the MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred. We'll put it on the screen, and I'll read it in part to you as well. He says, I think the real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There's no Oakland offer, okay? They never got to a point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site, and it's not just John Fisher. The community has to provide support. At some point, you come to the realization it's not going to happen. Obviously, we do know there was a lot of work towards the Howard Terminal site here in Oakland to try and keep the A's here. And we did see a huge turnout at the game on Tuesday with the reverse boycott. I was there along with almost 28,000 other A's fans trying to make their presence known. So what do you say to the MLB commissioner about those words that Oakland hadn't done the work to keep the A's rooted in the town?
You know, I know we're live on air, and so I'll just say it's totally false. There was a very concrete proposal under discussion, and Oakland had gone above and beyond to clear every single hurdle that the ownership put in front of us, including securing funding for infrastructure, providing an environmental review, and working with other agencies to finalize approvals. The reality in this is that the A's ownership had insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial, and retail. Whereas in Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem to be satisfied with only 9-acre lease ballpark on leased land. If they had proposed a similar project in Oakland as what they have proposed in Las Vegas, I can guarantee you that Oakland would have the construction would have already began. But that wasn't the case here. So why is the threshold so high here relative to Las Vegas? But again, Oakland, we showed our commitment to the A's, and that is why we believe that the A's truly belong in the city of Oakland, and it is not a shortage of the fan base, as we have proven that, you know. So, you know, at the end of the day, again, you know, Las Vegas deserves a team, but we need to make sure that the A's are rooted here in the city of Oakland.
You suggested earlier that perhaps if Las Vegas really wants a team, they should get it through expansion. Are you hopeful that if the A's do end up packing up, going to Las Vegas, that perhaps the city of Oakland might be able to get a team through that expansion process?
You know, we're very hopeful. I'm optimistic for any avenues. You know, I know that MLB is really big on creating a more diverse fan base. And here in the city of Oakland, where this is one of the leading cities in the whole nation around diversity, it's that, you know, we have the fan base We have what is needed. We have the political will. We want to be in good partnership with MLB and make sure that the A's are rooted here. And if it's an expansion team that goes to Vegas or under a new ownership here in the town, then let's have a conversation about that. You know, I think that there is a win-win here.
There's also the other reason why the A's are moving to Vegas, possibly. The Atlanta Braves are an example of this. The Atlanta Braves were at Fulton County Stadium. Fulton County Stadium was inside the borders of Atlanta. Atlanta is a minority city. Mm-hmm. Oakland is a minority city. Mm-hmm. Baseball throws out of both sides of its mouth. It says it wants to be inclusive, okay? Tell me. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta move the suburbs, tell me everything I want to know. The Atlanta move to the suburbs, tell me, you know what, black and brown people in your ball games. That's what the A's are fighting now. Because in the hills, in the Oakland Hills, basically, are Caucasian. The lowlands are black and brown. The people that are employed in Oklahoma City Coliseum are black and brown. The people in the hills do not want to pay taxes on the Coliseum. This is what this battle is about. Number two. The protected outer terminal is a bad place. How do you get to the outer terminal from 12th Street? That London Square? How do you get to the terminal? See, at the A's, I'm not answering that question. That's my problem. So, if they don't get this fixed, the city of Oakland will lose the Golden State Warriors, the Oakland Raiders, and now the Oakland A's. Let me take another clip here. Another clip.
A's fans making their message clear at tonight's game.
That's right. Fans organized this reverse boycott to really show their dedication to the A's staying in Oakland. This says the team still works to move to Vegas.
KTVU's Joe Fonzi was at the ballpark today where the Coliseum saw its biggest crowd so far this season.
The party started in the parking lot behind center field well before first pitch. The biggest crowd of the season turned out on a Tuesday night. The giveaway had something to do with it, free T-shirts, but not provided by the A's. The one-word message was clear, directed toward owner John Fisher. Stop your Las Vegas romance and sell to an owner that will keep the team in Oakland.
We want to make a point that, hey, if you are committed to Oakland and keeping a team here and committed to investing in your roster, we'll be here. And this is just the product of what can happen if you literally care about your city, your team, and your fans.
Baseball is a generational sport, and the A's fan base, like all teams, is full of people who have made going to their games part of a family tradition.
My grandson's been here even before, in the womb. I was bringing my daughter here with him when he was in the womb.
We've been coming ever since he was born. All he knows is A's, you know, and this is all, we're here to support them. I think our goal is just to be seen and heard. I mean, I don't know if this is going to make a difference, but we love the A's, and that's, you know, we're here to support them.
From the chants to the signs to the return of the drummers. The symbolism was strong. Hayes fans were showing what they once were and feel they still can be. There was no shortage of A's jerseys being worn by the Oakland faithful. Trouble is, none of those players wears an A's uniform anymore.
He's been a fan since he was born. When they traded Donaldson, he was crushed. We're going to keep fighting every day and just hope to build more memories, just like our parents brought us to the game, be able to take our kids, our grandkids to the game. We're just, you know, fighting to keep Oakland baseball alive.
A's fans will acknowledge this was an 11th hour, even desperation effort. But if the goal was to send a message to team ownership, they certainly did that. In Oakland, Joe Fonzie, KTVU, Fox 2.
And that's the problem. The A's did not make their statement clear back in 93. Let me give you some history here. When the Oakland Raiders moved to L.A., became the L.A. Raiders, in 1982, 12 years later, they would have come back to Oakland. Not only that, they would have built Bob Davis. Now, for those who know what Bob Davis is, Miles Davis is the outfield box seat in the bleachers. That's Miles Davis for the Oakland Raiders. And what they did was ruin the Coliseum. The Coliseum has never been the same since. That was the beginning of the end, in my opinion. When you block off one of the greatest views in baseball history, you can see the Oakland Hills from the Coliseum. You can't see it now. Why? The question comes back to why. The Raiders came back for another 12 years. And guess what? There is Las Vegas. This all came tumbling down when Las Vegas got the Golden Knights of the National Hockey League. It all came tumbling down when the Golden Knights were selling out every night in the hockey club. It all came tumbling down when the Golden Knights went to the Stanley Cup Finals their first year. So the Raiders go ahead. Mark Davis, go ahead. I want to get out of here. So he took his team to Las Vegas. 12 years later, here we are. The Oakland A's will do the same thing. It's time for Oakland to stay on the ground. Time to keep the A's in Oakland. Now, for those who don't know the history of the Oakland A's, they're originally the Philadelphia A's, 1909, Philadelphia A's. They stayed in Philadelphia until 1967. They moved to Kansas City in 1966. From 66 to 69, they were the Kansas City A's. In the event imagine the A's move to Oakland in 1969. They've been there ever since. 50 years in Oakland. They are the oldest team in Oakland. Is it the oldest? Well, as you know, it's the oldest. Because the Raiders are the oldest. That's what we have a problem with here. Let's talk about the Oakland A's.
So it's long overdue. I mean, we've been waiting for this for 10 years, so we're finally there. The money's there.
The money is there. Well, that was Oakland City Councilmember Noel Gayo. He was telling me about the money and optimism building behind a last-minute push to save the Raiders. It's an effort led by former Hall of Famer Ronnie Lott aimed at raising enough private money to replace the Oakland Coliseum, a building that quietly turned 50 back in September.
Well, these days all we hear about is how outdated the Coliseum and the Oracle Arena have become. But as KPX5's Wilson Walker shows us, they were not only cutting edge in their day, they were an absolute steal.
This is the hallway where the visiting players enter and exit the field.
Rainwater on electrical equipment, sewage in the clubhouse, and likely very little time left as a major league stadium. Sometimes you just have to stop and remind yourself that 50 years ago, this place was an absolute gem.
A bird's eye view of the newest landmark in Oakland, the Coliseum.
It was built with a kind of a rawness and simplicity, but a real elegance.
Craig Hartman is senior design partner with Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, the architectural firm that designed the complex back in the early 1960s.
It was a very, very innovative structure, and again, the architect and structural engineer Myron Goldsmith was a genius at this, and the use of both the land and geometry. These buildings were nestled down into the land, and they're very, very kind of Californian in that regard, this sort of relationship between the architecture, the structure, the land, the climate there being so beautiful. It has a real sort of a California vibe about it.
Not only a mix of cutting edge and California vibes, this was an absolute bargain.
Even then, it was inexpensive. It was $25 million, I think, for the entire complex.
That's about $186 million in 2016 dollars. But these days, a new stadium for just the Raiders would easily cost $1 billion. And remember, the complex ultimately provided a home for three professional sports teams.
Well, it was part of the entire sort of American ethos at the time about the idea of making places that were flexible, transformable, that could serve multiple uses.
And so multi-purpose stadiums sprouted like weeds all across the country, at least until fans realized they were pretty lousy places to actually watch a game.
The intimacy that makes baseball such a wonderful sport to watch versus the enormous spectacle that football is are just two things that no matter how transformable the facility may be, just really are kind of oil and water. They just don't really come together very well.
So yeah, as far as its identity as a sporting venue goes, this place is a dinosaur. But you can also think of it as a pretty nice timepiece for America at the middle of the 20th century.
This is the American dream of freedom on wheels.
You had white flight from the cities,
traveling on time-saving superhighways,
to cheap, plentiful land in the suburbs,
one subdivision after another.
And oh yeah, large public infrastructure projects were pretty darn cheap. Now, if you think about it, all of those factors which gave us a building like this are now in total reverse. One by one, nearly all of the Coliseum's multi-purpose siblings have been wiped off the map. As for the Oakland Coliseum, it got a rather infamous renovation back in 1996.
I don't like it. I used to be able to see the Oakland Hills. It used to be a beautiful stadium. Now it looks like a mess. I don't
don't think it's going to look good when they finish it either.
And the stadium really is just about finished. Its expiration date now only a matter of time, money, and politics.
We do not think it's appropriate to repeat the mistakes of the past.
And one mistake might be giving up on the current Coliseum property. After all, BART came rolling in after the Coliseum, so the area is now more transit accessible, and planners think it could be an ideal spot for a more urban stadium development.
For lots of reasons, some intended and some accidental, I think that site is a really extraordinary site.
So as you hear more talk about this obsolete facility with no future, remember that the Coliseum is also a portrait of our past.
If you look quickly as you drive by it, it almost looks like the Roman Coliseum.
What was once state-of-the-art, now the last of its kind. And despite all of its flaws, it's still standing.
Partly a testament to this sort of, we'll call it the strength of the bones of this design of this facility that has made it have such longevity.
In Oakland, Wilson Walker, KPIX 5.
And the soonest the new stadium proposal could be discussed publicly is at the Oakland City Council meeting that is on December 13th.
And that is the history of the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The mess that the Oakland Alameda County Commission, the Oakland City Council, Major League Baseball, and the Oakland is a complete mess. They need to sit down and really, really think about what they're doing. Now, my idea of this, and this is how I was done years ago, before the Raiders left, I would have blew up the Coliseum. Just blow it up. All of them, blow it up. You put the Raiders stadium in the south and the A's stadium to the north and put the parking lot in the middle. You don't need the arena. Because people are going to go to Chase Arena in San Francisco. They're not going to go to the Oracle Arena in Oakland anymore. Blow it up. That's how we're done. Put the Raiders in South End. Put the A's in North End. Put the parking lot in the middle, and there you go. In the next couple months, there might be zero teams in Oakland. It'll be that again. There could be zero teams in Oakland if this continues. Now, you make your choice. Write me letters. See what you think. But that's what I think about what's going on in the Oakland Coliseum. Take a break. the baseball standings. American League East, Tampa Bay Rays, lead by 5 games. In the American League East, Cleveland and Minnesota are at deadlock battle for AL Central. And the Texas Rangers lead the Houston Astros in the AL West. In the AL East, the Braves are pulling away in the Miami and New York and Philadelphia. And the Braves have a 5-game lead. In the NL West, the Reds are overtaking the Brewers in the NL Central as the Pirates slip, losing 8 games in a row. While the Arizona D-backs keep surprising everybody in the league with their first place in the NL West, with the Dodgers and Giants right behind this weekend in the big series. The Giants host the Arizona Diamondbacks this weekend. Game 2 right now on NBC Sports Channel. Game 2 right now. Sunday night, Wazdegar Bio. We'll be going to Phoenix. Chris Ball, that trade was Chris Ball. And you know, that trade was expensive, three-player trade. But Bill will be going to Phoenix Suns. Head coach on Sunday, head coach Bob Huggins was arrested for alleged DUI, released on OR. Head coach Deion Sanders might have foot problems, as he has to go back for operation, but he might even have to get amputated, as he has circulation problems in his foot. Deion Sanders is now head coach of the Colorado Golden Buffalo. Monday, as we all will know, Draymond Green declined the player option and will become an unrestricted free agent. This is a formality. Green will most likely stay with the Warriors for a different contract. 43-year-old Venus Williams wins a 3-hour match over Camila Gorgi. It's the first time a 43-year-old won a WTA match. Congratulations to Venus Williams. And again, she made history, and the Williams decision will not go away. Reds get Joey Votto back, and they beat Colorado Rockies 5-4, and veteran Joey Votto returns to the lineup. The Mountain West Conference denies San Diego State moving to the Big Ten or Pac-10. Now San Diego State has a request to the NCAA, and this could be ugly. Stanford baseball team get ousted by the Tennessee Volunteers, 4-run comeback in the 8th inning. It was a great run for Field, Rick Woodfield in Birmingham, Alabama, and the Birmingham Black Bears of the Old Negro League. It is the oldest daily ballpark in America. No, y'all thought it was Wrigley Field and Fenway Park. No, it's Wrigley Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Derek Hill being investigated for assault. Alleged a battery at the Marina, Miami Marina bar. And folks, why are you tempting if you're a player? Don't go do crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff. Tariqio, this is a bartender gets into a fight. What are you doing? Anyway, we will continue to see what happens with that. The Buster Posey rule comes up 2 days in a row, and the rule has to be more clear and more definitive. I understand the rule is to save the catchers and their legs, but they have to make the rule more clear, because if I'm a runner, I'm going to run the catcher over. That's my job. The A's green and gold cell t-shirt will now be at the Cooperstown requested that shirt as a baseball MLB history. So if the A's do move, the t-shirt will be in Cooperstown in New York. On Thursday, the Basketball Writers Club was in session as the NBA draft started. Baseball is out. And this is interesting, very interesting. Baseball scouts 55 to 77 years old are filing charges against Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred for age discrimination. Let me repeat that again. Baseball scouts 55 to 77 years old will be filing charges against Major League Baseball and Bob Manfred for age discrimination. I would love to go to court in this case. The Spurs got number one pick, and they picked Vietnam, picked him at Wanigami. Center, and if you're a center, and this is the thing, if you're a center in the NBA, and you get drafted number one, you better get that team to the NBA title within 3 years. That's Victor Wembanyama's job from now until 3 years from now. Friday, the smoke is cleared at the NBA draft. Jordan Poole is in Washington. Chris Ball is in San Francisco. Marcus Smart is in Phoenix. No, Marcus Smart is in Memphis. As the circus continues, and the unicorn Porzingis will play in Boston, and think that's a really bad trade for Boston. Porzingis does not fit the Boston team chemistry. I want to see how this works. Today, in the College World Series, about an hour. Today, LSU Tigers will play the Florida Gators. SEC Championship, a World Series Championship in college. Baseball Series, Atlanta travels to Cincinnati. As the Reds win their first game last night. D-backs are in San Francisco as the Giants win last night in the first game. And it's going to be a very interesting baseball season. I think one of the better ones in many, many years. Don't go sleepwalking on it. It's going to be a good baseball season this year. Just hang in there. Another month. One more month. We'll take a break.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you? Ireland, Leona, McGuire wins.
Grand Prix, Red Bull DKD's run, and Max Verstappen wins over Fernando Alonso and Lewis Hamilton. This week they're off. Next week there is the Australian Grand Prix. And there you have it for the weekend. Okay, we gotta bring him Michael. Think of it out.
What's going on, G?
Alright, man. What's up, man?
All's good. No complaints whatsoever. Just enjoying a very warm Saturday afternoon.
Is it raining?
Well, it rained here, but this is what I was talking about before. We're in a tropical area now. We're subject to these little intermittent rain bombs. We've been hit with them all week, pretty much.
Michael, about the I-95, what are they doing over there?
Well, ironically, they've actually fixed it. It was amazing. I can't describe in detail what they did in putting it together, but it happened and happened fast. I mean, they said 2 weeks, but it was more like 2 days.
And you know, now, Michael, the I-95 issue proved my point. When America wants to do something, when it really wants to do something, They get it done.
That's true.
These fools worked 24/7 to get that
rolled
up. You know why, right?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Well,
I mean,
it was
just like, man, it was something. They get it done.
It was freaky enough looking at the accident itself. To see that gap just not necessarily disappear, but fall apart. And
right.
That a fire could cause the road to separate to such a degree that it would crack open like that. It freaked me out. That's the worst I've seen since the incident in Minneapolis area where that bridge just fell apart. They put that back together quickly, too, but the fact that it fell was like, holy shit.
Well, after the Loma Prieta earthquake out here in California, where the Cypress Freeway collapsed, you see it on TV, and you don't really until you see it in person. I almost died.
Like, what happened here? It's kind of hard to think. How can you earthquake proof something? You know, I mean, Mother Nature being what it is, how can you stop something from being destroyed by a natural event like an earthquake?
Yeah. I don't think you can.
I don't think he's going to
read
them
back.
Yes.
Michael, I don't know about you, but I am not happy with the Chris Ball governor date. I don't want you heard, but over the years, Chris Ball and Curry have not liked each other for years.
Uh-huh.
Now, you get a new GM for the Warriors, and the first thing he does is trade Jordan Poole
Well, you just explained it. The 38-year-old Chris Paul, he's definitely played his best basketball. So what can he do now? Okay, well, Chris Paul can feed the hot man. We've seen Curry and Thompson go off. He's not going to be used as a bona fide scorer. He come off the bench, provide minutes, do things that are needed so that Golden State's offensive firepower can continue. Poole wasn't that much. All Poole could do was score. And he wasn't good at that most times. So Golden State figures they're getting something for pretty much nothing.
Well, I'm thinking it may be for the Zegers, he could be a point guard for the Zegers team. That's what I think may be going on.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it doesn't cost them anything. They didn't give up any of their big pieces.
Right.
Salary cap wise, he's not going to be a liability. You know, it's like one of those deals where for 10 minutes a night, Chris Paul can come in.
Yeah.
Dish here, dish there, lay up here, lay up there, and be effective.
Yeah.
I don't think he can play.
I feel sorry for Reggie and the Washington Wizards, because they're people again, and Reggie, what is Washington Wizards doing?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I know the Wizards don't have stars anymore. I mean, Ball and Beal, they're gone, aren't they? I mean, then they make a trade for Bradley Beal.
Beal's going to Phoenix.
It's like they're starting from scratch. So I don't know what you can say.
Reggie, what's going on there, Reggie?
I'll say, son. We got problems. Dr. Evil. Mean
yes,
Gene
sir.
With the rolling machine. Gentlemen, what's happening? You got to laugh at this squad to keep them crying. No, G. Anytime you have a team like the Wizards and you got a podium, the Grand Wizard, what do you expect? I mean, a name like the Wizards? Oh, my God. And they did it because, you know, Mike, the history, the late A podium said that he, of all the shootings going on in D.C., and this team was originated from Baltimore. With the Baltimore had just built the arena, they would have kept the Bullets. The only team in Baltimore before the Baltimore Ravens to get the sniff at the National Championship, a.k.a. Super Bowl. The Bullets was the lone wolf carrying the package. But that was before University of Maryland won that championship in basketball. All I'm saying, gentlemen, is that they have had GMs that have had terrible contracts. And look, you had Chris Webber and Juwan Howard on the Wizards at one time. And they still lost. And look, the thing that got me, Mike and Garrett, when they were saying the Knicks back then, the crowd was hollering, "Let's go Knicks." And it was in the arena.
Yeah.
And when you got somebody like Ralph Sampson want to fight King, who played for the Stacey King, who played for the Chicago Bulls at the time, I was at the game with Landover, Maryland. Ralph Sampson.
Uh-huh.
I was so pissed off because it was giving him facials. I mean, facials with nuts up in his face. And he's 7'1", 7'2". That tells you right there how deplorable the team is. But on a final note, when Magic Johnson played in the arena and I saw him play, you had 75% of Laker fans with jackets and jerseys on, and I'm the Lone Wolf hollering, "Let's go, Wizards!" And people look at me telling me to shut up. And it was a home game.
There you go.
In the mouth during training camp last year.
What, repeat that again?
Who did Draymond Green punch in the mouth during training camp last year?
Okay.
Who are they trying to re-sign, Gary?
Jordan Poole.
Yeah, because Draymond Green, they're trying to re-sign him, and Draymond did not want Poole back on the team.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't see anything wrong with that
because you got a defined role for Paul. You know, you're on the bench, you come in for 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you give out assists here and there, you make a shot every now and then, and you're good.
He can be on the bench and come playoff time, he might be fresh enough where he won't keep getting these nagging injuries at his age. So I don't see nothing wrong with the trade myself. You get rid of a headache, and Poole was the one that when he got his bag, a.k.a. his bank, started acting flaky. And then that's when Draymond punched him about, said, "You got to get the hell out of here."
Gary,
in all due respect, the whole team had an issue with Poole. It wasn't just Draymond.
No,
it
didn't.
The whole team. Gary, you're not following me. The whole team had an issue with him. It wasn't just Draymond. The whole team did. Behind the scenes. That's why they got his ass up out of there.
Yeah. I mean, we got to talk about chemistry. Poole was definitely spoiling the team chemistry on the team. And Draymond Green is too valuable to the team that Poole would be considered a liability. No.
Right.
You get rid of the
problem. What did Poole do in the playoffs? He didn't do shit.
Nothing. Not really. In comparison, he did little or nothing. And like I said, when he's hot, he'll score. But how often does he do that? You know, Golden State's got scores. They didn't need all that. The bottom line was this was addition by subtraction. You got rid of Poole. Paul's got a better role. And the team has more chemistry in terms of this is what we're going to do in the tournament.
We got
720,
come in, please. 720. Oh, are you there? I did not. Okay.
Oh, out with us, Michael, what we said.
also, the fact that the Oakland A's possibility of moving to Las Vegas is getting bigger and bigger each day.
Gary, before we talk about that, what do you think about the kid that played like Deion Sanders from Cincinnati Reds that hit the cycle last night? Is that a bad boy? Is that a bad boy? 15 games in, and he hits the cycle in 15 games.
It's crazy. And the Reds,
what's his name,
man?
I don't
Reds.
Know, but the brother, they got a 12-game winning streak, the Cincinnati Reds, and they're awakening the big red machine of 2023.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Them boys, they got a lot of brothers on that thing, too.
What you're seeing this weekend is the National League Championship Series this weekend between the Reds and the Braves. I think that's going to be the championship series.
They was popping them fly balls out yesterday, but every time, if you had to open under home runs, you made some money last night. They was flying out there last night.
I am still trying to get over how to bet on baseball. I really wouldn't know. You know, you can't ignore the gambling because gambling has been prolific in every sport so far.
Right,
you know,
right.
there's about a dozen NFL players that are on the hook for gambling. You know, basketball.
Well,
you got
basketball,
the league going on.
I don't get
hockey either. Well, hockey, yeah, I think it's more referee-oriented. But still, baseball, it's like, how do you bet? I can honestly say, I don't know how to bet on baseball, but you know somebody did. And this brings up a different situation. What about Pete Rose? Pete Rose spent forever betting on sports.
Yep.
Even bet on baseball. They pissed on him and let him go. They ostracized him. Now, betting the American apple pie, where's Pete?
And Major League Baseball got the Egro and that Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame. I always said this before all this, Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame years ago. But because of baseball, the ego, they're not.
That's baseball's hypocrisy. You know, he did what he did. Okay, you get him suspended, you hit. You pick him for the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
How can you ignore what he did?
Yes.
You can't ignore all the things that the analytics people, they love to talk about. You can't say nothing. Pete did all that and then some. You know, Pete's got records no one's going to catch, let alone pass. And you still got him X'd out the equation. There's another side to this, and Pete will never get to say his side of the story unless they let him in, if they let him in.
What they had to be now is a groundswell from the public to get Pete Rose back into baseball. Baseball keeps some of his dope. And what I mean by this, for those who don't know, the black aces of baseball, you might not ever see another black ace. And for those who don't know what black ace mean is, he's an African American or black baseball pitcher in baseball. The last black ace in baseball was in 2012. Name David Bryce.
But you're talking about a sport. But Gary, you're talking about a sport that doesn't give black people a chance to rise up. You got minor leagues and all that stuff. There may be black players in the minor leagues, but, I mean, who would ever think that it would get to the point that there are more black people playing ice hockey than professional baseball? That's embarrassing.
How stupid is that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm all going to approach you, get up and go, Gary. I'm going to do an article on, I'm doing an article on the black agents as we speak.
To David Price's credit, he was a good pitcher. And some days, on some days, he was a great pitcher. But black people aren't playing baseball
anymore. He played for the wrong team, the Boston Red Sox. And we know how Boston is about black players.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Boston was not a haven for black players. But the bottom line was Price was a pitcher. And you got to have a certain mentality to pitch, especially at the pro level. There's a reason why we haven't seen one. There are a lot of organizations that don't want one. And then, of course, you got black athletes and you got Latino athletes. Not that they're not the same color, but the same mentality. That's a whole nother character thing. And there are too many organizations not willing to take a chance on a black player, especially a pitcher.
Well, I was going to list the black agents, and there's a lot of Oakland A's that they do, man. It's like Mighty Blue, Mike Norris,
yep,
Jim Mudcat Grant.
Blue Moon Owens.
Dave Stewart. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Blue Moon Owens. I mean, Oakland had a whole treasure trove of black talent that also pitched. Diego Segui. I mean, we got arms for days. But
you don't have
the consistency that comes with a champion. They won the championships when they did. And it was like Finley just took his foot off the gas. He was looking for what it was. He was looking for marketing instead of looking for players. And he got it the other way around.
Well, we got to get our resident baseball encyclopedia in there. And that's Tony McGrain. What's up, Tony?
How are you guys? What's up?
What's up, T?
I was going through the black agents, and the A's names get up and up, like one, two, three, four.
They got their own little wing in there.
You mentioned Dave Stewart and Vida Blue, Mike Norris. Now, I think Mudcat did his with the Twins, though, if I remember
Mudcat
correctly.
The Twins.
Yeah,
did
Mudcat,
yeah.
He did do time with the A's, but I think his 20, because like, I want to say it was him and Kitty Cat for the 65 Twins, if I remember correctly. It was either him or I'm sure my A's. You can remember Earl Wilson? Back in the day,
Earl Wilson was Detroit.
Yep, Detroit and the Red Sox. It's funny because we had Mudcat on a couple shows back in the day when they were pushing the Black Aces book. It's funny you mentioned. I was actually trying to find that online because it came out the first issue. The original came out the year that Dontrell Willis got his 20.
Dontrell Willis, I remember.
And it's been a handful of years since we've had a brother win 20 games.
But
and it seemed like
what got me interested in this was Bay Area Sports, the Bay Area Sports TV network, was doing an interview with Dave Stewart and CC Sabathia, right?
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. And, okay. You know, I take it back. CC was the last one to do 20. That's right. That's right. CC, the first, it was either the first or second, the first year, the year they won the World Series in 2009.
The year they won the World Series, he was 20 something.
Yeah, and he already had, I think, now, when he won the Cy Young, he won with 19, but he had his first 20 games. I think he did have a 20-game season.
That was the year they gave that punk Greinke the award.
Well, the year because then he came back, because then he came back, and then CC wound up getting it the next year.
Right.
It was almost like it was a makeup vote, to be quite honest.
Exactly.
You know, that was the Revenge of the Nerds when they put Greinke in there, and I think Greinke barely won like 12 games for a real bad Kansas City team.
He was like 12-3.
But they were going so crazy. You know, that was during that time when they were pushing all the, you know, the analytic stuff and everything. And see, now you have this. We'll see. Well, you know, now you have this thing where, you know, it's almost becoming like the running back in the NFL, where the 20-game winner in Major League Baseball doesn't get any love. There's more. They push the relievers more than they push the starters.
Yeah, well, you know what the Giants and the Dodgers doing now?
The Tampa Bay started that mess a few years back, and you know, I don't mind being old school, but there's a reason why guys are in the pen. Now, yes, we've seen guys like Dennis Eckersley, who was a great starter for many years and then became a great reliever. We've seen that with John Smoltz and whatever. But there are certain guys that are just relievers. It's funny because back in the day, relief pitching really didn't get half the love. Remember, the save stat only goes back to, I believe, what, 69, 72?
It was the first year, that was after Bob Gibson.
Yeah, that was 69.
The year after Bob Gibson.
Yeah, so that was 1969. Yeah, 1969, because Gibson with the 1.12 in 68, they lowered the mound and relief, and I guess save became a stat. But see, even with that, you know, guys like Raleigh Fingers and Sparky Lyle and whatever, they did, you know, it was nothing for them to do, you know, three innings. I remember Sparky Lyle in a playoff game against Kansas City, like a do or die playoff game with Kansas City. He did like, I want to say like 4.5 relief innings, got the win, and then it forced the game 5 in the cell. I want to say it was 78 maybe when they it was part of that comeback, and they wound up beating the Royals the next night in game 5, and I think Lyle got the last 2 outs in that game as well. But like, you know, again, I don't take anything away from what the modern day guys do with the, when they basically do one inning and whatever. And it's so funny to me that, oh my God, he's going to do a six out save. Man, please. You know, you can't do a 3X, 3X or outs.
Hello.
Yeah, man.
The Giants today are going to do a bullpen game today.
Well, a lot of teams, now, most of the time when these teams do, it's because the pitching staff's been depleted. They're usually coming off of either a bunch of doubleheaders or they have injuries, or in some instances with some teams already this year, a particular team in Queens to be specific, where their bullpen is damn near burnt out, and we're not even in July.
And that's what I fear. The Giants can happen. The Giants when they get to the end of the season,
you know, it's the sort of thing now where there is so much, you know, I get it with the specialization and all that other stuff, but, you know, put it this way, the one stat I cannot stand is a quote-unquote quality start. A quality start now is like six to seven innings. And, I mean, I always have this envisioning of if Tony La Russa managed the Cardinals in the 60s, Bob Gibson would routinely, physically whoop that man several times, kicking him out.
How many black starters are there right now in baseball today?
Right now, the most now, you've got Hunter Green in Cincinnati. You got Taijuan Walker in Philly, who won last night. Let me think. Now that's let me sit down and think.
I got only three.
Who's the third guy?
I
got Hunter.
Doesn't Tampa
have a brother that starts?
That's right. What's his name though?
I can't think of his name. But Taijuan Walker, definitely. Hunter Green, definitely. I think there's another guy, but for the life of me, I can't.
I got three or four. That's it.
It goes with the whole, you know, it's bad enough that the numbers of brothers just in all of baseball are down. So that position has taken a huge. I mean, the funny thing is the battery, because you don't see black catchers either. I mean,
that's rare.
The last guy I really remember prominently, and he went through a bunch of teams as well, was Charlie Johnson. Now, you always had, like, sort of these backup guys, like Lenny Webster. Who else? I'm trying to think of some other guys. But, yeah, it's you know, right along with the less black pitchers, it's even less black catchers. I was putting together a baseball quiz that I'm going to try to run sometime soon, and I didn't realize, you know, there's only been one black catcher that's ever won Rookie of the Year.
Was that Elston Howard?
No, when Elston Howard. When Elston Howard. No, it wasn't Sankey. It was a National League catcher.
And he's black.
Yep.
Was it Johnson?
No, it wasn't Johnson. It was. Do you guys remember Earl Williams with the Atlanta Braves back in the 70s?
He is the only
black catcher that's ever won Rookie of the Year. Now, there's been several that have won MVP, of course. You know, Mike mentioned Elston Howard. Roy Campanella, of course, won multiple MVPs. Now, Manny Sankey never won an MVP, but Manny Sankey was on, though, you know, he was the linchpin. Remember, he's the link between the 71 championship team and the 79 championship team for the Pirates. He played on both of them. But yeah, Manny was always
great ball. But like, but you know, guys, you know, guys like Earl Batty. Who else am I thinking of? Of prominent black catchers. It's been a. I mean, you know, we talk about the dearth of black pitchers, but the black catchers are, you know,
ball catchers, you know,
the black catchers are almost like the last of the dodos as well too.
No shit.
That's really amazing because back in the 70s, 80s,
boy, it was overrated. But that's the thing, you know, and you know, the funny thing is, even when there were more brothers playing back then, they didn't, you know, it was now they only made up say about 25-30% of the overall major league roster. But it just seemed like that they were all over because, you know, I always felt like the one reason why the National League dominated the All-Star game all those years was because they had more black stars. The American League would always have black stars, but the National, I mean, there were times where the National League All-Star team, you know, was damn near all, was all black a lot of times.
At least 60-70%.
Hey,
this kid, the rookie that played with Cincinnati, did he remind you of Deion Sanders on the baseball field?
You know, he reminds me more of Eric Davis.
Okay.
I see the tendencies with Deion because of the speed, but to me,
yeah,
he's like, you know, he's like Eric.
Isn't he a left hand hitter?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a lefty. He's a lefty.
Yeah,
I think
Deion was a left hand.
And in that park, that's a hitter's park too. And
yeah,
you know,
I think the Braves hit another home run out.
Yeah. Well, the scary thing about Cincinnati is. All of their play, you know, they brought up just enough kids to do something, and now Joey Votto is healthy. So
Has this really the ghost of Mars shot and her German perspective of things?
Oh yeah. It's funny because. Yeah, you know, it's funny because, see, going into the season, the Reds as an owner, you know, their owner, I mean, he's not, at least as far as we know, hasn't had any racial tendencies. But the thing with them is that they've been trying to do it on the cheap. You know, he's basically said, you know, he's losing money. Y'all need to just come out to the games, but they haven't put a product out there. And you know, it's almost, to a certain extent, it's almost like a real life major league going on in a sense there. I mean, I don't know if the Reds will sell. I don't think it's like that because they, you know, they sell the Reds, there'll be a riot in Cincinnati because, you know, they're still one of the oldest franchises in all of baseball. But
not older than the league.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, the people will come when you put a product out there, and that's what's been happening. Now, you know, now they're in a perfect storm right now. The only thing is, when you see a lot, you know, if you go historically, a lot of these teams that go on these, like, 15, 20 win streaks, they may make the playoffs, but they don't. It never translate into a championship.
No, they get wore out to a certain extent.
I mean, it's great to see, you know, and I'm happy for their fans, but are they going to be able to sustain it? I'm anxious to see, are they going to add to what they have, because, you know, clearly they've got a nice mix with veterans and youth, and again, they have the pitching. Last night was a bit of an anomaly because he had 20 runs between the two teams. But for the most part, Cincinnati has decent pitching. I mentioned Hunter Green, who was another one of the youngsters that they have there. Look, as is always with baseball, all the teams that are in first place are usually either the top five or top ten in pitching. You know, the Braves. You know, the Braves doing what they're doing. Even the teams that are under resurgence, like Baltimore, like Pittsburgh, like Miami, they're getting the pitching. I mean, that's the thing with Miami. This kid that they basically stole from the Twins, you know, he's on. It's early, but he's on pace to do to possibly hit. I don't know about 400, but he's on a hell of a pace to have a hell of a season.
Will we ever see a 20-game winner again?
The kid from the Dodgers, Urias, won 20 games a couple years ago, but because the year after they won the World Series, he won 20 games, but again, because they devalued winning 20 games in baseball now, his season didn't really, hit, they didn't talk that much about it. They talked more about Bueller and Kershaw than they did Urias.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. Ted DeAngelo is trying to buy the Washington Nationals now. This guy already owns the hockey team in Washington, owns the Wizards, and Pavelski fell into his lap. So that's the only way they got a Stanley Cup. Maybe other than that, he has done a horrible job as far as owning two franchises. What's your thoughts on this guy trying to own three?
Well, you know what? What I say is, you look at the guy who just won the NBA title, Stan Kroenke, for Denver. Now, he won a Super Bowl with the Rams a couple years ago.
That's him.
I believe, yeah, that's him. He's the owner for Denver for the Nuggets, and I believe he has part stock in the Avalanche. So he's won three titles. He's basically won three titles in 2.5 years, so it could definitely be done. It's just a matter of what his commitment is. Now he has everybody in the arena in Washington, basically the Caps, the Mystics, and the Wizards, right?
No, the Mystics don't play in the arena. They got their own arena.
But he's a part owner of that franchise, though. Am I correct?
No, he's not.
He
missed that one. The one that got a championship, he missed out on.
Well, let's put it this way.
Your girl that used to be married to Bob Johnson, she's the owner of that.
Oh, his ex-wife. That's right. Kathy, that's right. His ex-wife. That's right. You're right. It can definitely be done. See, look, end of the day, it's about your commitment to what you want to do. He originally came in as the Capitals owner, right?
Yep. Right.
And then he sort of inherited the other franchise. I mean, look.
Well, A. Podium died. That's when he swung in and
yeah,
died.
Yeah, yeah. He just sort of, recruited, sort of whatever. But
yeah.
The thing with the Nationals, look, when they got rid of Soto, they were basically telling everybody, hey, we'll see y'all in about 3-4 years.
Yeah.
In so many words. If he's now, I believe their farm system is like okay. It's not terrible. It's not terrible, but they don't have really a lot of blue chip guys now. With the trades that they've gotten over the years, they've picked up some players, so they have a little bit of a nucleus. It's just a matter of how they want to do it. Do they want to do it straight from the farm system, or do they want to? Because see, the hardest thing. I was surprised. I thought that they were going to build everything around Soto. And then they just said, nah. And see, now What's going to set them back even more now is that Strasburg's career is probably done.
All he got to do is show up once a week and say, I want to pitch and collect $200-something million.
Yeah.
He ain't got to pitch no games as long as he shows up to the training facility.
Nobody
talks about that check.
But see, to his credit, it paid off because he wound up helping them win the World Series.
That's only the saving grace he got. TV deal, the Orioles had to extract a check for $125 million to the Nationals because they finally settled that dispute.
About time, man.
But the thing is, though, nobody's streaming no more. So the media things, a lot of these companies are going bankrupt. So that ain't going to help them at all.
It's more those old Fox Network. I guess they're under the guise of Valley Sports now. I thought that they were out of that. Are people able to watch their games in that area or not?
Yeah, well, basically the Orioles still own the rights. That's why the Nationals have such a shady deal. And that's what everybody was saying. They were so thirsty for baseball in that area. They just did what they could just to bring the baseball in. Now they're finally trying to get it straight. That's what they're holding up to sell the team, because they're trying to get revenue stream as far as the media revenue.
And I don't like to use the word, but literally they raped the Nationals coming in because they treated them like a third world country. You knew that you were going to have to play territorial rights because of the Orioles, but they took it way too far. And
A's move to the Vegas, they will be going.
But to a certain extent, even in some of the bad old days with the A's, the early years, of course, they took them over the coals. But let's face it, in the 70s, the Giants were irrelevant compared to the A's.
The A's wanted to move to San Jose, and the Giants
But I'm just saying, when it comes to popularity, it was night and day. And remember. They traded Willie in 72, and then later that year, the A's won the first of their three in a row. It's literally no coincidence. Because the Giants were going to go to Tampa before I can't remember my man's name who bought the team eventually. Brian Sabian. When Brian Sabian bought the team. Remember, they finished out those, like, when he bought the team, they finished out a few years in the old Candlestick, and then by the 90s they had... It was 3Com Park when they first moved there. I don't know what the – I forget what the call is now.
AT&T.
It's AT&T. Okay. But, yeah, it's – the thing is the A's were able to usurp the Giants because of what they did on the field. Now the A's did struggle attendance-wise, but clearly – From 72 on, the A's were the team of the Bay Area. Now when they got Bonds later on, that changed.
Well, then they wanted to move to San Jose in the mid-90s.
Yeah, before they got their pop.
The Giants said, no, we ain't ready for that.
because
yeah, because their AAA team was there, and it was just like, you know. Of course not. Absolutely not.
Well, gentlemen, it's coming down to the closing hour of the day. Randy, what do you got your final thoughts?
First of all, Gary, I want to commend you for all the years of great work on the radio, man. You've done a great job, and I love you and care about you. And I like to commend your articles on Facebook. I make sure I post them and share them. And you're just doing a hell of a job. And to the Deacon for Defensive Justice, T-Mac, and Dr. Evil, keep up the good work, gentlemen. You are doing a great job.
Thank you, thank you.
We do what we can.
All right, Mr. D, what's up?
It's interesting watching the NBA draft the other night. I don't know if you guys know this, and I just found this out about a couple of days ago. All the top 10 picks, the 1 through 10, are all have black agents.
Whoa.
Now, Yeah. Now,
upset about that.
Well, it just means that, you know, it just shows that, you know, thing if you, you know, to a certain extent, I guess you could, you know, give sort of an homage to LeBron, because, you know, with all of the hating that goes on with him, with black and white folks, one of the reasons why he was privately hated by the power that he had in the NBA was because he had the ability to have a black agent. And we all know that over the years,
plantation.
Apparently, there's a Juneteenth thing going on with the NBA, I guess, because, you know, when your top 10 picks are all represented by black agents, as far as I know, that's the only time that I can remember that happening. And that, you know, for all the guff that we give the NBA and for all the guff that we give the players at times, it is kind of cool to see that, you know, what goes around comes around. And put it this way, I'm still going to root for that raggedy team on 5th and 33rd, but I definitely will be checking out what these guys, what these top guys are doing. And like what me and Mike were saying the other night, I hope there's a fat burger somewhere in San Antonio so Victor can go put on some weight, because he's gonna need a little fun fat so he can be able to deal with the NBA. All right,
Michael, what you got, man?
Well, you guys gave me some food for thought. Literally, I've never had a fat burger. So I would like one. I've had In-N-Out Burger, and they're great. I love those. But
yes, sir.
The fact that agents were picked by the top 10 players in the draft, and they're all black, that's amazing. And we have to, although I may be saying something that is tried and true, we have to say it for what it is. You got agents taking care of these guys because someone else took care of a black player before them. So we have to give a left-handed acknowledgement that LeBron James pissed off a lot of folks because he took control of his own situation and made all this available. So for a lot of reasons, especially for this one, he is the cash cow. No, exactly.
Gentlemen, I have said it. For 20 years, you have
Amen.
We have to keep this journey, and we have to pass this on to the next generation.
Amen.
That's our job now, to pass it on to the next generation.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. And now we're not all collectively retiring, mind you, but we're just, you know.
I understand.
Yeah. I'm not ready to gum anybody to death. No time soon. They're out there, and I'd like to think that they've been influenced by what we have done and what we're still doing. You know, I think the most basic thing is that we've stayed, you know, with a tried and true procedure that's sustained itself. We're not talking or saying anything different than what we did when we all first got started. It's just, the good and bad thing is that we're sort of repeating ourselves at times because we've always looked at things much differently than mainstream, and to me that's always the thing that has sort of set us apart, is that, you know, mainstream is always usually, two, 3 years behind. The good thing is that there are other voices. We may not have direct descendants like Travis Singleton, but we have a lot of folks who I think have been influenced by what we've said and what we've done, and it's shown. They may not physically know who we are, but trust me,
they've heard what we're talking about.
Yep. There you go. And to me, that's as much of an impact and a legacy as well, because look, you're always going to have folks that worship at the teeth of the mouse and Fox Sports and all the other mainstream ones. But I think what you're also seeing now is you're having a lot of people that have independent thought, and they're looking at it from all the different angles instead of just listen to what everybody else is saying. I mean, anybody can do that. You know, it's the fact that there's other voices out there, some of them are morons, some of them aren't, and it's the sort of thing where at least now, it's almost like, I mean, I'm showing my age. Mike, I'm sure would be familiar with this. There's an old clothier store out of New York called Sims. And their slogan for years has always been, an educated consumer is our best customer.
And I think that
definitely applies now, because I think there are a lot more educated sports fans out there than we give them credit for. And all we're doing is, you know, you ain't got to believe a word we say, but just look for yourself.
Ashe.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'll see you tomorrow. It'll be Diana Ross. What you got, Mike, for tomorrow?
We're going to give everybody a little summer love. You know, summer is always a great time for transition, but it's also because actually we had a power outage yesterday. Because everybody's going to kick back and enjoy a little summer madness, listen to some love, maybe practice my begging. I got to have somebody to practice begging with. Practice some begging and enjoy it tomorrow night at 9.
Thank you, my brother.
All
right.
Take
care, guys.
Thank you.
I'm no good without your goodbye.